the real Christmas story. I changed the manger tonight. It's now accurate. Jesus is not in the manger. I took him out. Also, there are churches today that still have Jesus on the cross. Jesus is not on the cross. Jesus is not in the grave. Jesus has ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father right now, making intercession for you. Do you know that? He is praying for you right now. And he's getting ready to come again. So that's the rest of the real Christmas story. Good night. Actually, there are so many things. That's why we're in Matthew chapter 1 tonight. Thousands of years of things that took place led up to the birth of Christ. Do you know that? We're going to cover a couple of thousand years tonight in our first chapter with a bunch of names that I can't pronounce, but that's okay. I'll do the best I can. Matthew chapter 1, we've opened the Bible. What's the second step? Open our hearts. Father, thank you for your incredible word. Every name, every yacht, every tittle, every crossed T, dotted I, is given by the inspiration of God. It's all important. Even tonight, with the first 17 verses that we're going to look at, this is so, so important in the true Christmas story. And so tonight, Lord, I pray that you would speak to us, that we would always be teachable, that we would know the true meaning of Christmas. Emmanuel, God with us, the Savior of the world, who was born into this world to save us. That is the best gift of all. Nothing can compare. And so tonight I pray that we would be in the true Christmas spirit, knowing what took place in order for us to receive the greatest gift of all, your Son, Emmanuel, God with us. So you be the teacher, Lord, through your word. We commit this time to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Tonight we are in the Gospel of Matthew, written by a Jew, to the Jews, about a Jew, Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior of the world. The amazing thing, and I'm just as guilty about the first 17 verses of our chapter here this evening, many people who come to the Gospel of Matthew skip over the first 17 verses. It seems dry to them, uneventful. A list of names that many people often skip over. But you know what? This is extremely foundational in the true Christmas story, as we'll see. The genealogy is indispensable. I wonder if we go to ancestry.com, if they will research our family all the way back to Abraham or even Adam. You know, we all go back to Adam, but I'm sure they won't tell you that in ancestry.com. The genealogy is indispensable. It's so, so important. It lays the foundation for all that follows in not only this chapter, but in this book and in the Bible. This genealogy traces the legal descent of Jesus as the Messiah, the King of the Jews. Because in order to be who he is, I didn't say who he says he is, but he proved to be who he is, he had to qualify for a certain lineage, and we're going to talk about that here tonight. That's why it precedes the virgin birth in verses 18 to 25. And so here in verse 1, we see it says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. The genealogy of Jesus Christ traces the legal descent, fulfilling the covenant promise that God made with David. God made a covenant with David. He promised the same thing to Abraham, and both are listed here in the first verse. To David, God promised that his kingdom would last forever, which is now fulfilled in Jesus Christ. As well as Abraham, to whom God promised that he would be the father of many nations. We've studied that on Sunday morning recently. And this covenant was to his descendants as well. So you had to have the right lineage, the right family tree, if you would, in order to fulfill it to be the Messiah. And so from Abraham, through the royal, here we see lineage of David, all the way down to Joseph, as we'll see here this evening, the husband of Mary. He was also in the lineage of David, as we're going to see. So let's look at the names here, the genealogy of Jesus Christ, in verses 1 to 17. And I'll do the best I can to pronounce them. This is what the word of the Lord says. Now, for some of you, this may be the first time you've ever read them. And you've been through the whole Bible. You laugh, but it's true. Begot, 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 begot. You've heard my testimony. When I was in Vietnam, they gave us all a Bible to carry, kind of a good luck charm. And it was just the New Testament. Man, when I was in a jam, I'd pick up that Bible and try to read it. And I'd go to the first chapter, and all I saw was begot, 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 begot. And I thought, what kind of book is this? And I put it back in my pocket. I never got past verse 17. Why? Because I didn't know the Father. The Bible clearly says, he who has the Son has the Father. He who does not have the Son does not have the Father. And so you'll never understand this book until you know the Son, who is the Son of the Father. It's like reading someone else's mail. And so let's look at the begots here tonight. And this is what the word of the Lord says in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob, or Jacob, who also became Israel. And Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez. So that shows there were Hispanics in the old days. Couldn't resist. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nashon. Nashon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David, the king. David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. And we know that that's Bathsheba. Solomon begot Rehoboam. Rehoboam begot Abiah. And Abiah begot Asa. There's an easy one. Asa begot Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat begot Joram, and Joram begot Uzziah. Uzziah begot Jotham, and Jotham begot Ahaz, and Ahaz begot Hezekiah. Hezekiah begot Manasseh. Manasseh begot Amon, and Amon begot Josiah. Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brothers about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel, and Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel got Abiud. Abiud begot Eliakim, and Eliakim begot Azor. Azor begot Zadok, and Zadok begot Achim, and Achim begot Eliud. Eliud begot Eliezer, Eliezer begot Mathan, and Mathan begot Jacob, or Jacob. And Jacob begot Joseph, notice, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations. Well, we got through the names. I'll let Jan tell me how many I mispronounced. She's Jewish. And so the genealogy of Jesus traces the legal descent, fulfilling the covenant promise that God made with David, as well as God's covenant promise we see with Abraham. To David, God promised that his kingdom would last forever, which is now fulfilled in Jesus Christ, as well as Abraham, to whom God promised that he would be the father of many nations. And so, the royal line that we just read, the genealogy, was anything but royal at times. Yeah. Why? Because God had to use human beings to fulfill his plan. And all of us fall short. It's anything but royal at times, just like today. And of course, it had to be imperfect, as all that could be used were imperfect sinners. That's what the Bible tells us, that there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:10 tells us that. Isn't it amazing that God still says, still adds to his family imperfect and unrighteous people to this very day? Wow. We won't expound on every name. You're probably going, praise the Lord, thank you. But we're going to look at this section at some of the names that I find very interesting. And I'm just going to, you know, glaze over a couple of them. I'm not going to expound on every name. But this section certainly shows the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. It really does. And when I look at his family tree, I'm thinking we can all relate. I'm sure we all got some characters in all of our family trees. I was one in our family. And just to point out a few, just in the first two verses, look who we have. Notice, we have David, we have Abraham, we have Jacob or Jacob and Judah. David was an adulterer and a murderer. And he was Israel's greatest king before Jesus Christ. Abraham lied to his wife and had an affair with their handmaiden. Jacob, also who would become Israel, was a deceiver. Judah was a whoremonger. And this is only the first four names. Imagine. So again, this encourages me that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. Now in verses 3-6, we have four women that are listed. Check it out. Judah begot Perez, the Hispanic, and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab, Amminadab begot Nashon, Nashon begot Salmon, and Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king, and David the king begot, Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah, that is Bathsheba, whom David stole from Uriah. And so in verses 3-6, we have some interesting characters. And they're female. Tamar in verse 3, Rahab and Ruth in verse 5, Bathsheba in verse 6. Two of these women, Tamar and Rahab, were prostitutes, harlots. Yes, we are reading the genealogy of the king. One, Bathsheba, was an adulteress. Two of them, Rahab and Ruth, were Gentiles. And again, confirming that the coming of Jesus Christ is to bring salvation to sinners and grace and love and mercy to not only sinners, but even us Gentiles. Praise the Lord. In verse 6, we see Solomon. Another character, right? Solomon was an idolater. How sad. We've been studying him, Ryan, Pastor Ryan, on Saturday morning in the book of Ecclesiastes. How God asked Solomon, or told Solomon, he would answer any wish that he had. He could have whatever he wanted. And he didn't ask for wealth and riches and all of those things. Solomon asked for wisdom to guide God's people. And God was so pleased, he blessed him with everything. But how sad it is that all of those things led him into idolatry. And he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Imagine that. I wonder how many mother-in-laws he had. I shouldn't say that because I've got a great one. I've got a great mother-in-law. He was an idolater and a polygamist. 700 wives. I wonder if he could remember all their names. And 300 concubines. Concubines, of course, were women that he was not married to. See that in verse 7. But the good news is, in verse 7, we also have a godly king. Whew. One out of how many that we've mentioned so far was godly. In verse 7, it says a godly king, Asa. Asa was one of the very few kings that we find in 1 and 2 Kings that followed God. Most of the kings, I forget the number, out of like 40 kings, I forget, maybe four or so, were godly kings. And Asa was one of them. But like I said, this does not allow us to expound on them all. Time does not allow it. But it's quite a family tree, would you say, thus far? What you can do is you can get a concordance, a Zondervan concordance, and you can look up all the names and all the testimonies in the family tree if you choose to do so. You can always find some interesting things when you take God's word deeper, when you study the names and the backgrounds and the meanings of the names and all. So if you choose to do so, get a dictionary and do the research. So now we're going to fast forward a little bit to verses 16 and 17. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. From the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations. Now again, if you want to do some research, you can go to Luke's Gospel. We won't do that tonight. But in Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 23, we have another genealogy that's given. And it goes all the way back to Adam. And so we see all of the names there that we can mispronounce that go all the way back to Adam. But here we're going to see now the beginning of the true Christmas story. Again, as Scripture had foretold, through the seed of Abraham, that's what the Word told us, and we've seen on Sunday morning, a foreshadow of things to come. Abraham was called the father of faith. He was a father, if you would. And he sent a helper, which is another term for the person of the Holy Spirit, to bring a bride for his wife, or for his son. Hello. That's a foreshadow of things to come. And that's exactly what we see in the genealogies. Scripture foretold that through the seed of Abraham, the tribe of Judah, the root of Jesse, the throne of David, we now have in the lineage, in verse 16, Joseph. Notice it doesn't say the father of Jesus here, because he was not the father of Jesus. He was Jesus' stepfather, because Jesus was conceived by the person of the Holy Spirit. But here we see that it's the husband of Mary. But notice even Joseph had the proper lineage of David. He was, it says, the son of David. He was in the lineage of David. And so we see here that in verse 20, Jesus was conceived in her womb of the Holy Spirit. And so Joseph was not the father of Jesus. He was the husband of Mary. And so now, after this extremely important section of Scripture, which, by the way, covers thousands of years, we have the true meaning of Christmas, the true Christmas story. And here in verse 18, we now have a birth that is different than any birth in all of human history, a virgin birth, which is also confirmed, as we've seen on Sunday, by a doctor, Dr. Luke, in the Gospel of Luke. And so verse 18 tells us, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed, the term is kiddushin, it's like being engaged to Joseph. Notice this, before they came together, before they had sex, before they consummated the marriage, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And so here we see, they're engaged. This young couple, just beautiful, beautiful couple. Before they came together, Mary was found with a child of the Holy Spirit. We know the story. We've seen that on Sunday. Gabriel had visited Mary and told her that she was highly favored. And boy, I got to agree with that. She was highly favored that she could give birth to the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. Gabriel said, blessed are you among women, not above women. I'm going to share a couple of things tonight about Mary that are heretical, that are false teaching, that are taught by the Catholic Church, and it's false. They hold Mary above women. She is among women. She was a vessel used by God to bring his Son into this world. He also said that the Lord is with you. You shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Mary, of course, confirming that she was a virgin, said, how can this be since I do not know a man? Never had a physical relationship with a man. Gabriel, of course, said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. And the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Imagine that. This young girl, when she heard that news, man, it had to rock her Richter scale. Look at verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. Notice, he was not just a man. He was a just man. That means he was upright. And that's a challenge for us men of God today. Are you just a man? Or are you a just man? Are you upright, above reproach, filled with the Holy Spirit, walking in the newness of life? That's a challenge for all of us. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away. This had to be a scary time. Why? Because if a couple was engaged and the woman came up pregnant, they were both taken outside the city gates and they were stoned to death. Wow. Times have sure changed. Bless you. At this time, Joseph did not know the true explanation of why Mary was pregnant. Her condition. Joseph was a just man, an upright man. In those days, like I said, sexual immorality resulted in death. I'm sure that when Mary's pregnancy became evident, she probably attempted to tell Joseph what had taken place. What must he have thought when she said that which was in her womb was the Son of God, conceived by the Holy Spirit? Virgin birth. But look at the love that he had for her. He loved Mary so much that he was not wanting to make her a public example. You talk about a scandal in those days. So he sought to put her away secretly to protect her reputation. Now watch what God does. And again, as I've mentioned many times recently, God's promises are always perfect. He never breaks a promise, and everything he promises will come to pass. God's going to fulfill his incredible plan through this precious couple that he chose to be the parents, if you would, of his son. Everything is going according to God's perfect plan. And it will come to pass, as we're going to see. Look at verse 20 and 21. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Gee, what is it about these guys named Joseph in Scripture? They're all dreamers. In Genesis, we're going to see Joseph dreaming. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, which is a confirmation of the proper lineage, do not be afraid to take you, Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her womb is of the Holy Spirit. Wow. Joseph's nightmare now turns into a dream. Incredible with what Gabriel, well, it doesn't say Gabriel here, but what the angel tells him. And she will bring forth a son, verse 21, and you will call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. And again, Joseph must have been just totally, totally blown away with what was told him in this dream, which was previously a nightmare and now turns into a dream. And again, we're not told what angel this is, but what tremendous joy and comfort and as well as relief must have come over Joseph in this dream. I wonder if he wept. I think he loved Mary so much. I think that this precious saint of a man, this just man, I believe he probably wept. And that's why one of my favorite verses in the Bible, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Maybe you're struggling now. Maybe you've got something going on in your life that's causing you to weep and be grieved. I want to encourage you tonight. It's only for a season, for a night, but joy is coming. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Look what he tells him. Do not be afraid. Isn't it interesting? Every time we've seen an angel visiting somebody in the Bible, the first thing they tell him is, don't be afraid, fear not. Take Mary as your wife, he says. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. I wonder what Joseph thought when the angel told him that. The son she will bring forth, you shall call his name Jesus or Yeshua, which means Jehovah is salvation. For he will save his people from their sins. And again, what a mind blower for this young couple, that she would bear the Savior of the world, and he would be the stepfather of the Savior of the world. The privilege of raising this child from infancy all the way up until he started his ministry. For he will save his people from their sins. Can you imagine that? Your son, your stepson, will save his people from their sins. Notice as well, mentions the gender. And again, I must say, folks, there are only two genders under the sun, male and female, period. Mary is going to have a son. Joseph is going to be the stepfather of a son. He gives him the gender, the name, and his mission. He will save his people from their sins. All revealed to Joseph about him and his future wife. Can you imagine what that must have been like? Their future together as newlyweds with this precious baby, the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Joseph, he's going to be your stepson. Wow. And again, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. And again, we have scriptural confirmation. We have scriptural confirmation about every aspect of what today is portrayed as the true Christmas story. Look at verses 22 and 23. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, through which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us, which is translated God with us. And again, aren't we blown away ourselves? Well, we have scriptures from Genesis 1:1 all the way to Revelation in the back that cover thousands of years, thousands and thousands of years, and how absolutely perfect this book is. Why? Because 700 years prior to Mary conceiving in her womb this son through the power of the Holy Spirit, Isaiah prophesies of this miraculous birth. 700 years! I wonder if Mary was ever in synagogue and heard Isaiah 7:14 preached, or if she knew what it said, foretelling that a virgin would be with child. Now, what would that be like if she knew that scripture verse, sitting there and the rabbi or the preacher preaching Isaiah 7:14, talking about a virgin that would conceive and bear a son and he would be the savior of the world, and Mary sitting out there. And I wonder what she thought. Gee, how blessed that lady must be. And it's her, sitting right there in the service. I'm not sure if that's true, but you know me. I like to kind of look at a lot of different aspects. And when it's my opinion, I let you know. That's just my opinion. But I would have to believe that they had Isaiah 7:14. He also gives the gender. And he says, he shall be called Emmanuel, God with us, proving again that Jesus Christ is God the Son. That's exactly why the religious leaders had Jesus Christ put to death, because they asked him if he was the Son of God, and he told them the truth. What you say is true. Just by telling them who he is, he was put to death and nailed to a cross. But then again, God knew that as well, didn't he? Psalm 22, written again, I think 500 years or something like that, ahead of crucifixion ever being instituted into society, God wrote a blow-by-blow description of his son being crucified. Psalm 22, amazing. But yet people don't read this book. Probably the same reason I didn't. They can't get by the begots, you know. But the all-important thing is that we are begotten as sons and daughters of God, through being born again and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Question. His name is God with us. Is he with you? Only you know that. You don't have to nod your head or raise your hand or stand up or say yay or nay. That's between you and God. But I would hope every one of you, and even those watching on YouTube tonight, can say, yes, he is with me. God with us. I was sharing with my precious wife recently how in our BC days we would go out to Christmas parties, and sometimes we'd have a few, knock down a few, and then go out in the neighborhood and sing Christmas carols, knock on somebody's door and sing Christmas carols to them. And I would be lipping the words and not even pondering what they were saying. You ever look at some of the songs that we sing about Christmas now? Did you sing them in your BC days before you knew the Lord? How about Joy to the World? I'm not talking about Creedence, Jeremiah was a bullfrog. I'm not talking about that. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. What's the next verse? I never even realized it or recognized it until I got saved. Let every heart prepare him room. Wow. And my first Christmas, as a believer, I sang that and my eyes just, I couldn't believe it. Let every heart prepare him room. And all of those years, I sang those words and it never registered here or here. Crazy. Unsaved. having no idea what I was singing. Verses 24 and 25. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, oh yeah, that'll wake you up. It wasn't his alarm. Did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Wow. So, with the message he received in his dream, with this angel's timely message, it was perfect, wasn't it? He was going to put her away secretly. They weren't going to get married. They were finished. They were done. And God sends an angel to him in a dream to let him know exactly what was going on. He did not have physical relations with her until Jesus was born, and they were husband and wife. God created sexual intimacy between a husband and a wife, period. I know the world looks at it differently. I'm just telling you the truth. I want you to know the truth, and I'll tell you why. Because the Bible very clearly says that fornicators, people that have sex outside of marriage, will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I love people enough to let them know the truth. I'm not damning you. I'm not condemning you. I want you to know the truth so that you can be set free. Fornicators, homosexuals, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. How sad. You probably saw it in the news recently. The Pope is now blessing same-sex marriages. God does not bless sin. And I got news for you. The Pope can't bless anyone. God is the one who blesses. That is heresy. Another heresy in the Catholic Church. And I don't mind exposing it. I'm hammering the religion, not the Catholic people. And I would encourage you, if you're watching, if you're Catholic, read your Bible. First of all, get saved, born again, ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, then read God's Word and see what God has to say about marriage, about homosexuality, and all of these things. And it hasn't been that long, has it, since the big scandal in the Catholic Church with homosexuality. And now he's blessing same-sex couples. You see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ? We're close, folks. And so another deceptive lie amongst religious heretics today, also, I can't help but touch on this one, they also say that Mary is a perpetual virgin. Uh-uh. She was married to Joseph. They had sexual relations, and I've got about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I've got 7 verses here that you can look up that shows that Mary and Joseph had other children, sons and daughters. Mary and Joseph had children. Matthew 12:46, Matthew 13:55, Mark 6:3, John 7:3, Acts 1:14, 1 Corinthians 9:5, Galatians 1:19. They had other sons and daughters. And guess what? 2 of them wrote epistles in the New Testament. James and Jude, yeah. So they had other children. And so the Lord of glory, in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwells, as now, as we see here, in Mary's womb. And Joseph now knows, as he was aroused from sleep, and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. You see how just of a man he was? He did exactly what the angel had commanded him in a dream. And he took Mary as his wife. Praise the Lord. And again, what must that have been like when he saw Mary again after his dream? And he knew that she bore the Son of God in her womb. And he knew that she wasn't playing around. And he knew that she was telling the truth and loved him. They must have just had just an incredible relationship all the way to marriage, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son. It doesn't say there, her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us is born. Well, I finished early tonight. That's so you can go and do more Christmas shopping. Before you do, I just want to make sure you've got the best gift of all. I was given an invitation to make sure that you've got the greatest present of all. You know, I could give you a Christmas present. I mean, a humongous Christmas present. And if it's not received, it's not a present. I could have a Mercedes waiting out there for you, a big ribbon on top. But if you don't receive it, guess what? It's not a gift. In order to receive God's greatest gift, you must receive it. You must allow him to come into your heart. Let every heart prepare him room. And if you're here tonight, more than likely you're all saved, but you never know. I don't know. I'm just the mailman. If you would like to pray to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I'd like you to stand quickly. Those of you watching on YouTube, if you would like to pray to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, pray this prayer with me. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, please forgive me for all of my sins. Come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior as I give my heart to you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Seal me for the day of redemption. And I thank you for saving me tonight and giving me the greatest Christmas present of all. And I thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you're watching and prayed that prayer, tell somebody. Call somebody. Call a church office. Let us know. We'll send you a Bible, new believers, information, whatever. But let somebody know. So we have a closing song. Joy to the World? No. Jeremiah was a bullfrog? No. And so let's all stand one more time. God bless you all. Lord willing, I'll see you Christmas Eve.
All right. I will.